Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is March 6, 2022, and I have the honor to have Professor Jim Fetzer on, as well as Professor Joe, and I'm just going to let him pick it up. Jim, how are you today? Joe?
Good, Stu. You know how they say truth is the first casualty of war. If you want an overview, what's the deal with Ukraine? You can find it on my blog, authored by Veronica Swift. She makes a number of killing points. Listen to this. World events make a lot more sense when you look at them from the perspective of Luciferians versus the rest of us. This is about kids and witchcraft, not Russia and Ukraine. One, Ukraine is a hotbed of satanic, demonic, Luciferian activity, military, satanic, family, bloodlines, and more, including forced Nazi action. Two, an elderly Ukrainian woman claims that Ukraine army is the one looting homes, stealing cars, and destroying property, not the Russians. Three, a Ukrainian man doesn't have much nice to say about Ukraine, calling the people there so corrupt, so evil, such liars, thieves. And there's a massive mafia in Ukraine. How about the whole country? He supports what Putin is doing. Five, Ukraine. Four, Ukraine has been a major world center for trafficking children for over 40 years. In the early 1980s, a former Ukrainian Legion of Defense leader, Michael Kartok, was teaching Michael Aquino, U.S. Army, and Sean Brennan, former head of our CIA, how to traffic children out of Ukraine for use by the Luciferian system. All three of these men are very, very high up in the ranking of the Brotherhood and Satan-following religion. All three are Luciferians. All three are also likely Nazis. Kartok was for sure. Five, the Ukraine embassy in the U.S. and the U.S. embassy in Ukraine are involved in trafficking children. Six, the CIA does black ops in Ukraine, including military provocations, organ trafficking, and narcotics. The recruited for this under a CIA front country company called Mission Essential. Seven, Jesuits started Ukraine to receive babies from along with China and Asia and Malaysia. Eight, Ukraine is host to at least 15 U.S.-funded bioweapons laboratories. This release of this information not long ago. The internet has been scrubbed. The Wayback machine still contains remnants of the information about them. Nine, the children of three high Luciferian politicians in the United States were outed as having received massive amounts of laundered money from a Ukrainian oil company. Those children were John Kerry Jr., Christopher Hines, son of John Kerry, and Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. The money went to Rosemont Seneca Mohai LLC, a company owned by John Kerry and the above-named children. Amounts were in excess of $80 million. When investigation of this scheme was started, $1 billion was on the line to Ukraine as the U.S. government threatened to withhold it. That was Joe Biden. The investigation did not continue. It was brought to a halt. 10. Paul Pelosi Jr., House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's son, was on the board of oil and gas company called Viscoil that did business in Ukraine, but was also busted for a cryptocurrency scam involving a sham United Nations Associate World Sports Alliance. 11. Quote from Michael Dago, our taxes go to Ukraine to help Ukraine. They don't see it because it goes to Biden's and all his cronies' pockets. 12. For many years, Ukraine has been Europe's capital for black market organ harvesting. 13. OW defines organ harvesting as being not just for sale, the organ donation, black transplant schemes, but also for human consumption and use in witchcraft. Ukraine is the number one exporter of witchcraft ingredients derived from former living beings. 14. The Ukraine probably has the most underground catacombs in the world per capita, perhaps tied with the Netherlands. This is where the occult of the world do their business, underground. 15. OW claims the preference of the bioweapon labs is for alchemy, chemistry, magic, including sex magic and blood magic. Those types of magic are related to opening spiritual gates and aligned with infallible demons. 16. OW claims many of the Nazi army working for the government of Ukraine at this time are Freemasons from the United States, Brotherhood, Luciferians. 17. Project Now Dynamic Conduit, clandestine human demon interface projects and spiritual game project like Star Wars now, in Voice of God. It was released in the Ukraine 18. Named Luciferians are pro-Ukraine. Marina Abramov, who trained in witchcraft at a Grand High Priestess Gloria Vanderbilt, says that an attack on Ukraine is an attack on all of us. By all of us, she means Luciferians. By the way, check out that video of hers for the link in the sources and forget watching it. Just read the comments. 19. Ukraine also seems to be a source country for adrenochrome production, likely in the biolabs that Putin has targeted and destroyed. Based on all this, would it be perfectly in alignment with the Luciferians to scream bloody murder, I mean scream Russian collusion, every time DJT, Donald J. Trump, some of his glance in the direction of Putin? The dark magic Luciferians are scared witless that Russia is going to put a stop to their child trafficking and other clandestine evil activities in Ukraine. Pedophilia is one that Putin has named specifically that he wants to rout out. Russia isn't perfect. It's got its own problems, as does Putin. However, he does appear to be intent on knocking down, or at least knocking back, the basic dark witchcraft problem endemic in Ukraine. As with all wars, there are innocent casualties. Most of the time, the casualties are caused by the whole country army, however, as they seem to be in this one. Stu, your thoughts?
Hey, I think you're 100% on target. There's a lot of things I want to add to this. Colonel Michael Aquino was what his name was at one time when he was at the Presidio, California, and that was involving kids. And I think, I forgot who it was, Joel, remind me, the one I interviewed, the Satanist, just got a new book out. He's up on the radio bar one, I think it was his name, but he was part of that Presidio stuff. But Michael Aquino became General Michael Aquino at the Presidio of DARPA.
I'm taping a show, babe, so I'm holding my finger over the mic. Can I call you right back when we get done?
Yes. Yes. So we'll continue. General.
Yes, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I want Joel's thoughts, too.
Okay. So General Michael Aquino was running DARPA, which is also running the weather control modification with HARP and all that stuff. But FBI troll Ted Gunderson was calling him all the time. Anthony LaVey, he was the one that I interviewed, and they nearly killed him over it. Anyway, he's got a book out there, and I got him up on my site. Punch his name in, and it gets you in the search box. But Gunderson was calling him at the Presidio out there almost daily, 5 days a week, for whatever reason. But Gunderson was involved in the cover-up with the camp in his book about the Franklin cover-up. Franklin actually was just a piece of it. That guy took the hit to keep everything else from blowing apart. And that was all these SNLs were being used, blackmail, all kinds of stuff with kids, congressmen, senators, folks. I mean, this is serious. Super Spook Otis Johnson told me that 6 out of 10 congressmen are either chipped or cloned in the U.S. Senate and the Congress. And that was back about 2006, he revealed that to me. And this guy was on target. He'll punch his name in, Otis Johnson, in a search box, and you see some of the stories on it. Okay, a very serious player. But he was in jail with John Gotti. The guy busted John Gotti, and they were a super operation that Casey originally set up and got murdered over. Otis was the direct assistant to Casey, and Bush stuck a needle in his temple, causing a cerebral hemorrhage while two goons held him down on the morning he was going to go testify in Congress that Bush was out of control over Iran-Contra. They used 50,000 military and spooks, Jim and Joe, in case you didn't know, something like that, 52,000 were involved and still are a huge block in trafficking of children, of drugs, and everything else. And now I've had Debbie Davis on, and she was seeing and witnessing and tried to do something about it right there where John McCain was running it in Arizona. But these biological chemical weapons, I want to reveal this. This is secret shit, folks. Warn the Russians. Attack and be careful before you blow something up, because it might have this biochemical in there, because there was a hell of a lot of storage or a lot of material sent over there, according to my dead friend whistleblower and his wife is still around. But he worked at K-State And he saw going out and reporting on it because the Chinese were taking it in behalf of Daddy Bush and the Israelis. Now, I'm going to give out something really secret. He'd heat you up over this little stunt that you're doing over there. We'll give the Russians warning before they blow up some of this stuff. Looks like chemicals or something. This may be the bios, and we don't want to get all these people killed over there. There's my point. Because we can't do anything about what they're doing invading. It just start World War III, and we don't want that. The dirty, filthy Joe Biden types do. And Colonel Michael Aquino. It was General Michael Aquino. Didn't he die, Joe, here a year or two ago?
Yeah, he died.
Yeah. Now, let me tell everybody something about Joe Biden, because I like this, because it's reality. He's married to a woman who, you know, got a PhD, got a doctorate. Okay, education.
She does not have a PhD.
Oh, she doesn't? I thought she did.
She's got a GED. I think she got a degree in education.
Okay. Now, she
don't
was,
give her too much credit.
No. She's a killer.
A bit of a stooge, like her. Take punishment,
because
this isn't the real Joe Biden.
No, she's a killer. Jim, she's a killer, and here's why. Joe Biden's current wife ran into and car crashed his real first wife and killed one or two of his kids. And she was.
You're right about that, but it's way off the track.
I know it's way off, but I'm just showing the history. Okay.
We got to stay on Putin and Ukraine.
Okay.
Joel, your thoughts.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Giving it back to you, Jim. I want you to continue on because this is first very important information that is getting out there. So, Jim, do not stop. Keep going.
Well, Vladimir Putin gave a speech about the Empire of Lies on February 24, 2022 that lays out exactly why he's gone into Ukraine. That the mainstream media has suppressed. You haven't heard a word about it on television or even on the radio, except from a few alternative sites. You can find it on my blog, jamesfetzer.org. Listen to this. It is a fact. This is Vladimir Putin speaking to the Russian people and to the world. That over the past 30 years, we've been patiently trying to come to an agreement with the leading NATO countries regarding the principles of equal and indivisible security in Europe. In response to our proposals, we invariably faced either cynical deception and lies or attempts at pressure and blackmail, while the North Atlantic Alliance continued to expand despite our protests and concern. Its military machine is moving and, as I said, is approaching our very border. Why is this happening? Where did this insolent band of talking down from the height of their exceptionalism, infallibility, and all permissiveness come from? What is the explanation for this contemptuous and disdainful attitude to our interests and absolutely legitimate demands? The answer is simple. Everything is clear and obvious. In the late 1980s, the Soviet Union grew weaker and subsequently broke apart. That experience should serve as a good lesson for us because it has shown us that the paralysis of power and will is the first step toward complete degradation and oblivion. We lost confidence for only one moment, but it was enough to disrupt the balance of forces in the world. As a result, the old treaties and agreements are no longer effective, and treaties and requests do not help. Anything that does not suit the dominant state, the powers that leaves, denounces, archaic, obsolete, and useless. At the same time, everything it regards as useful is presented as the ultimate truth enforced on others, regardless of the cost, abusively and by any means available. Those who refuse to comply are subjected to strong arm tactics. Of course, practice international relations and rules regulate and have to take into account the changes that took place in the world and in the balance of forces. However, this should have been done professionally, smoothly, patiently, and with due regard and respect for the interests of all states and one's own responsibility. Instead, we saw a state of euphoria created by the feeling of absolute superiority, a kind of modern absolutism, coupled with the low cultural standards and arrogance of those who formulated and pushed through decisions that suited only themselves. The situation took a different turn. There are many examples of this. First, a bloody military operation was waged against Belgrade without the UN Security Council sanction. but with combat aircraft and missiles used in the heart of Europe. The bombing of peaceful cities and vital infrastructure went on for several weeks. I have to recall these facts because some Western colleagues prefer to forget them. And when we mentioned the Atlantic paper heard of when speaking about international law, instead emphasizing the circumstances which they interpret as they think necessary. Then came the turn of Iraq, Libya, and Syria. The illegal use of military power against Libya, the distortion of all UN Security Council decision on Libya, ruined the state, created a huge seat of international terrorism, and pushed the country toward a humanitarian catastrophe into the vortex of a civil war which has continued there for years. The tragedy, which was created for hundreds of thousands, even millions of people, not only in Libya, but in the whole region, has led to a large-scale exodus from the Middle East and North Africa to Europe. But the example that stands apart from the above events is, of course, the invasion of Iraq without any legal grounds. They use the pretext of allegedly reliable information available in the United States about the presence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. To prove that allegation, the U.S. Secretary of State held up a vial with white powder publicly for the whole world to see, assuring the international community that it was the chemical warfare agent created in Iraq. It later turned out that all of that was a fake and a sham, and that Iraq did not have any chemical weapons. Incredible and shocking, but true. We witnessed lies made by the highest state level and voice from the high U.N. Nostrum. As a result, we see a tremendous loss in human life, damage, destruction, and a cooperative surge of terrorism. Overall, it appears that nearly everywhere, in many regions of the world where the United States brought its law and order, this created bloody, non-healing wounds and the curse of international terrorism and extremism. I've only mentioned the most glaring, but far from only examples of disregard for international law. This array includes promises not to expand NATO eastward even by an inch. To reiterate, they have deceived us, or to put it simply, they have played us. Sure, it often hears that politics is a dirty business. It could be, but it shouldn't be as dirty as it is now, not to such an extent. This type of con artist behavior is contrary not only to the principles of international relations, but also and above all to the generally accepted norms of morality and ethics. Where is justice and truth here? Just lies and hypocrisy all around. Incidentally, U.S. politicians, political scientists, and journalists write and say that a veritable empire of lies has been created inside the United States in recent years. It is hard to disagree with this. It is really so. But one should not be modest about it. The United States is still a great country and a system-forming power. All its satellites not only humbly and obediently say yes, two, and panic at the slightest pretext would also eliminate its behavior and enthusiastically accept the rules it is offering them. Therefore, one can say with good reason and confidence that the whole so-called Western bloc, formed by the United States in its own image and likeness, is in its entirety the very same empire of lies. As for our country, after the disintegration of the USSR, given the entire unprecedented openness of the new modern Russia, its readiness to work honestly with the United States and other Western partners, and its practically unilateral disarmament, immediately tried to put the final squeeze on us, finish us off, and utterly destroy us. This is how it was in the 1990s and the early 2000s with the so-called collective West, was actively supporting separatism and gangs of mercenaries in southern Russia. What victims, what losses we had to sustain, and what trials we had to go through at that time before we broke the back of international terrorism in the Caucasus. We remember this and will never forget. Properly speaking, the attempts to use us in their own interests never ceased, and until quite recently, they sought to destroy our traditional values and force on us our false values that would erode us, our people from within, the attitudes they've been aggressively imposing on their countries, attitudes that are directly leading to degradation and degeneration because they are contrary to human nature. This is not going to happen. No one has ever succeeded in doing this, nor will they succeed now. Even with NATO's eastward expansion, the situation for Russia has been becoming worse and more dangerous by the year. Moreover, these past days, NATO leadership has been blunt in its statements and they need to accelerate in step of efforts to bring the alliance's infrastructure closer to Russia's borders. In other words, they have been toughening their position. We cannot stay idle or passively observe these developments. That would be an absolutely irresponsible thing for us to do. Any further expansion of the North Atlantic Alliance infrastructure or the ongoing effort to gain a military foothold of Ukraine territory is unacceptable for us. Of course, the question is not about NATO itself. It really serves as a tool of U.S. foreign policy. The problem is that in territories adjacent to Russia, which I have to note is our historic land, a hostile anti-Russia is taking shape. Pulling control from the outside is doing everything to attack NATO armed forces and obtain cutting-edge weapons. For the United States and its allies, it is a policy of containing Russia with obvious geopolitical dividends. For our country, it is a matter of life and death, a matter of our historical future as a nation. This is not an exaggeration. This is a fact. It is not only a very real threat to our interests, but the very existence of our state and to its sovereignty. It is the red line which we have spoken about on numerous occasions. They have crossed it. There's more to the presentation. It's completely, historically impeccable, articulate. It shows a competent man who knows history and politics and is explaining to the world why Russia has had to undertake this special military operation in Ukraine. It is a masterpiece. And, of course, that's why they want the suppression.
Joe?
Jim, give the name and the website they can go to read that article.
President Vladimir Putin, Empire Line Speech, February 24th, 2022, on my blog at jamesfetzer.org.
And then the one on the Luciferians, where can that article be found?
Same place, also on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. All the jamesfetzer.org, just start following, you're like a series of absolutely sensational discussions of what's going on in Ukraine. It's a veritable bonanza of accurate information about what's really going on here.
Jim, I give you credit because not only do you sound like a professor in your report, I can see the Marine Corps captain in you.
Well, I certainly appreciate that.
No problem. I see it, buddy. Remember, I was 0151. I was working for the CO, so I was having fun. Anyway, what else you want to report on, Joe?
No, Jim, keep going because there's it's too valuable what you're pointing out here. So continue on.
I am glad to do so. We have the collapsing COVID narrative being replaced with Putin and Ukraine. This is also on my blog. Take a check now, too. This is from patriotsrising.com. Game-changing news has emerged out of Iceland as of this week. Iceland is the first country to completely drop all COVID measures. There will be no lockdowns or social restrictions. There will be no mandatory COVID testing. If you have to get COVID, you do not have to isolate. There'll be no vaccine passports, no vaccine mandates. Everyone, regardless of their vaccine status, can travel to the country with no test required. The unvaccinated will not face any form of discrimination or exclusion from society. Iceland is returning to going back to life as it was before COVID. This by itself would be astounding enough given Iceland is in the midst of a massive COVID surge and posting record cases even as we speak. If you did not know, the vaccination rate in Iceland is around 80%. The total population, which means around 90% of the adult population, is fully vaxxed. Obviously, the vaccines have done absolutely nothing to stop or even slow the spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. On the contrary, they seem to have led to its increase. Not only has the government of Iceland decided to drop all COVID restrictions and vaccine requirements, but the Ministry of Health issued remarkable new guidelines on how to deal with it. The country's health authorities have advised the Icelanders that as many people as possible need to become infected with the virus as the vaccines are not enough. Do you hear this? Iceland's government now tells that people it's good to contract COVID. In other words, Eisen's government has decided to have COVID to herd immunity derived from natural infection. This is like the complete negation of the official COVID narrative, which was accepted as conventional wisdom by nearly every government for the past 2 years. The narrative ran something like this. People should avoid getting infected at all costs, instead wait till they can get injected with a hastily concocted experimental vaccine from Pfizer, Moderna, and such. Now, however, governments are increasingly encouraging their citizens to forget about the vaccines and go out and take on the virus with their own immune system. What in the world? They are saying this after 2 years of heavy-handed lockdowns, restrictions, and closures that have caused untold economic, social, and psychological damage. They have changed their mind after having conducted a global vaccination crusade that saw more than 60% of Earth's population injected with inadequately tested vaccines that have proven to be less than effective and that have needlessly killed what could be millions of people worldwide. This is undoubtedly one of the greatest debacles of the annals of man. There were scientists who advocated herd immunity for natural infection at the outset. Those voices, however, were ridiculed, censored, discredited, fired, and canceled. Instead, one after another, governments across the world seized the false narrative and proceeded to impose a cascade of disastrous measures that inflicted unprecedented damage on the human race. In the weeks ahead, they will try to excuse themselves by claiming the virus has changed and that it's less dangerous now than it was at the outset. This is true to some degree. The fact that, well, it remains, the virus never posed a great danger to most people. The survival rate for non-confirmed individuals, non-confined individuals, was some 99.7%. It posed virtually no threat to healthy children. It posed only relatively low risk to active, healthy people of productive age. Certainly, the threat was not sufficient to justify wide-scale school and business closures and other onerous measures, nor did it justify indiscriminate mass vaccination of children and elderly people with a dangerous and deficient vaccine. These policies were a gargantuan mistake that cost hundreds of trillions of dollars and countless lives. Now that the false narrative is collapsing, those responsible for this debacle should be asked to explain themselves. These people, however, are very cunning. They're already in the process of skillfully diverting the public's attention to another place with a new narrative. Today, they are all talking about Vladimir Putin as the greatest threat to mankind. They hope to inflame people's passions so they will not notice that COVID has somehow gone away, even though a short while ago we were allegedly all in danger of dying from it. Now Vladimir Putin is the greatest evil we have ever faced, and as the added bonus, they will be able to blame him for inflation, depression, and other catastrophes brought about by 2 years of destructive COVID policies. The COVID-19 crisis was a government-imposed disaster from beginning to end. The virus, which was created by the Chinese state in cooperation with Dr. Fauci and his friends, either escaped or was released from the biolab in Wuhan. The Ukrainian crisis is likewise a government-induced catastrophe. The effect was Joe Biden, Anthony Blinken, and the globalist cronies, provoking him by pushing the idea of NATO in the doorstep of Russia. This was as unacceptable to the Russians in the same way that Mexico entering the Warsaw Pact would be unacceptable to the United States. Putin asked for assurances there would be no more NATO countries on the Russian border. This was not an unreasonable request, but they told him to go home and pound sand. We should not be surprised at Putin's anger. If he overreacts, the ensuing catastrophe we will be sparked by the provocateurs who are needlessly poking the Russian bear in the eye. Both COVID and Russia are false narratives. In a way, they are one of a piece. The passions and emotions exposed by the latter be used to hide and obscure the collapse of the former. William B. is also on my blog at jamesfester.org.
Excellent report, Jim. Joe, do you have anything to add?
Well, just Jim has said it all, but folks, keep an eye on the idea about oil and gas, because that's 50% of Russia's GDP. Cool. And so that plays a very important part right now of the ebb and flow of oil and natural gas.
Is it Croatia, the area, Joe, they got to have for shipping?
Yeah, well, they have to have they have to have the Crimea and
isn't.
That other area, because that's their only access to warm water. In other words, their navy would be blocked in.
Plus, the Caspian Sea, folks, is what the second largest oil find in the world next to Alaska. It's pretty good.
So that's what I would. So that is one of the things. Now, right now, from the Times of Israel, Prime Minister Bennett of Israel is traveling to Moscow to mediate between the Ukraine and Russia. So we'll keep an eye on that and see what comes out of that.
Wouldn't you call it part of the Silk Road system with China, Joe?
Yeah, it's just part of what I've been told is the One Belt Road system, which follows the Marco Polo or the old Silk Road. Just think of a three-petaled flower. To the north east is China. To the northwest is Russia. To the south is Africa for the food. And then in the middle of that is Israel. It's called the One Belt Road System.
Now, the Prime Minister of Israel just went over and met with President Putin, correct?
Yeah. That's from the Times of Israel.
Okay. Now, there's a guy that's controlling the guy in Israel, and there's rumor that his own wife put something out, reportedly, that you could Google, that was saying that he was cloned, that Putin was cloned at one point after he had actually become president. And I liked the way he did. He brought Christianity back to Russia. He could have Bibles and churches and not get shot over it. It was the death penalty at one time under the previous Russian regime. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But he's over there meeting, and it's just saying to me that Israel is winning in this whole game because they're controlling the Ukraine to begin with. That's the Khazarians, they're known as.
Well, most of the present occupants of Israel today are actually Khazarian extraction, and they would like to regain Ukraine as the new homeland for Israel. And the idea of Israel intervening here in negotiations, I find offensive. That's really repulsive. Putin ought to object to it. I do not know if he's going to be amenable, but it's a really bad idea, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. But as I warned him before, watch out for the chemical weapons that came out of K-State, folks. Fed, you ought to be on top of this in the military, warning the Russian government not to blow the fucking place apart too hard without looking at what's in there first. They may be hitting some weapons. Because Israel, the Mossad, and China were involved. And it was a Lippo group of Worthington Bank, Little Rock, Arkansas, part of the Clinton crowd that was involved. Chinese intelligence, Worthington Bank, Little Rock, part of Iran-Contra, Daddy Bush. Still in existence, folks. Rock those chemicals out of K-State and other labs that my friend, a whistleblower, died in another country recently because he couldn't live in the U.S. because they were wanting to assassinate him.
Jim, was there another topic that you were going to cover?
Yes, I have one last report.
Yes,
go ahead. This has to do with defending the First and the Second Amendments. Are you outraged by the San Diego Remington settlement for $73 million? Gun owners were seeing the threat of future cases being used to undermine our right to keep and bear arms. I was calling it out before the decision was reached as insurance fraud and a massive scam. The parties never addressed the most basic facts in this case. Did anyone die at Sandy Hook? When I sought to intervene to make sure this was an honest proceeding, I was rebuffed by both sides. I can do something about this, but I need your help. I'm pleased that Save Veterans Today has endorsed my efforts. You'll also find on my blog at jameshunter.org, VT editor, Spencer, the Zio juggernaut from Sandy Hook. Here's what they write. VT, our good friend Jim Fetzer has been sewn up in court for years now over his book on Sandy Hook. For anyone but Fetzer, errors, real or imagined, in his book are certainly absent malice, a typical affirmative defense in defamation cases like this. Our own investigation showed, an extensive investigation is that those who stayed Sandy Hook, and we don't know if the tents were real or not. In fact, nothing about Sandy Hook can be said with any degree of certainty. Then the alternative media conspiracy stories built on anomalies in the case of the very irregular investigation. Minor things, FBI agents, DED room in front of witnesses, arrested something on the day of the shooting that disappeared along with records of his arrest, subject vehicle towed from the school, a bond to a known criminal living 40 miles away with no connection to the suspect, gun recovered and registered as Bushmaster rifle, was actually a Turkish made, then was a shotgun. The school psychologist who first saw CNN, she saw the suspect, son of a kindergarten teacher, looked her in the eye when he came into the school armed for murder. Then only a day later, his mother wasn't a teacher after all, and she saw nothing. How many more? How much time do you have? Support Dr. Fetzer. GiveSendGo.com funding Fetzer. The funds for this campaign will be received by James Fetzer, PhD. I need your help.
Jim, that's a nice piece, because you need help. We all need help right now, but you need help because you've got to take this to Supreme Court, correct?
That's where I'm heading, Sue. I want to take this case to the U.S. Supreme Court. I have the law and the evidence on my side. What I don't have is the money. Well, I'm doing all of this by own accord for no cost whatsoever. My attorneys expect to be paid. There are filing fees, printing fees, and the like when you go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
How much do you estimate? How much do you estimate, Jim, that's going to cost you?
Well, it breaks down into more than one category, Stu. I'm aiming for $100,000, but it breaks down in the following way. I also want to pursue against Amazon.com for banning clients not book my books. Actually, six of them, when you include Sandy Hook books. And I want to get going in the, say, the bankruptcy case to prevent Remington from declaring bankruptcy. So I owe my attorneys from what they've already expended. So it's about $50,000 to cover attorney expenses already. About $25,000 for the new and about $25,000 for the U.S. Supreme Court. That's how it breaks down.
Hey, I'll tell you. Jim, sorry, I had to get a cup of coffee here. This is, you know, when it comes to attorneys, I don't even, anymore, it's like, oh, my God. But I want people to help support you. I want you to give out your website again where they can find, go.
Remember when GoFundMe absconded with $10 million intended for the Canadian truckers and declared they were going to give it to charities of their choice. That created such an outrage they had to backtrack. And then they decide they'd return it to the donators, but only in 7 to 10 days long after the truckers needed it. So they, another website, the GiveSendGo came to their defense and raised $7 to 9 million right off the bat. So that's where I've gone. GiveSendGo.com/funding Fetzer. You can read in detail about the lawsuit with Sandy Hook and the outrageous abuse to which I was subjected in the courts of Wisconsin. This is completely outrageous. Exposes judicial corruption. It's for the First and the Second Amendment. If they can do to anyone else what they did to me, no one is going to be free. Because this judge just made up his own facts in his summary judgment, even though I had two expert witnesses declaring that the death certificate over which I was being sued was fake, and therefore there was no case, but the judge simply dismissed that as someone else's opinion. And when I saw them bringing all the evidence, nobody had died at Sandy Hook. He cut me off, claiming that all that evidence about nobody dying had nothing to do with the authenticity or the truthfulness of the death certificate in question, even though the death certificate in question declares that the decedent was a victim at Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012 and died of multiple gunshot wounds. If you can be as abusive as this, no one has a chance in a court in the United States.
Hey, no. That all pulled you. You're very correct. Now, in the case of Sandy Hook, I looked at it myself, Jim, when it was going on. We were talking. It was a drill. A friggin' drill. Now, they bring in first Alex Jones to fuck you. And here you were offered the evidence to him where all of a sudden he mentioned Sandy Hook on his program, which got him sued, which his insurance company supposedly paid it to set you up. And that wasn't enough. And that was because he just said that. That's all it took because he was the setup. He tried to be the setup for Gunderson against me. Colonel Michael Aquino Gunderson Kraft against me. He was a stooge. Now, he's done it to several other people out here. A lot of evidence on it. Did, I forget his name.
Well, it's all anyway. Absolutely stunning. So if you care
here,
about
it. Now, I want to add something else. Now, I find it stunning also that Remington Arms, a government contractor who builds weapons for the government right here at Lake City Arsenal here, northeast of me, or northwest, over towards Independence, Lake City Arsenal. It's where the CIA headquarters for Kansas City is at. It's where us in the Marine Corps, in the reserves, we used to go out and practice out there and bring fighter jets in and the whole bit above us. It's a big territory of government. That's Remington Arms, folks. And I find it interesting, all of a sudden, they're going to settle with all these people to cover it up because they don't want this out, that this was a drill, in my opinion. Because they're trying to collect arms is what they were trying to do. And everybody should support Jim in this because it's very expensive to do this. I had to cave in and plead guilty to something that I wasn't guilty of recently and come up with 2,000 friggin' bucks I didn't have, hawking my car and everything else, where I had to plead guilty to a stalker of the government where a judge wouldn't even allow me to present the evidence of her in the first hearing and even, called into question my mental capability of representing myself. Here's the problem in Missouri. If you get a traffic ticket from a municipality such as Blue Springs, Missouri, where I reported this woman stalking me after she had ran into me, after I videotaped her first, go to the breaking news column. Just below it, you'll see her giving me the finger. Click on that. Go listen to recordings. Now, the prosecutor was informed. Everybody was informed. Up in advance, here's the evidence. She called the police and reported I pointed the gun at her. Why I'm videoing her and talking to the police folks, compare the recordings and you'll understand. Those two were supplied from the police department. The other one was supplied from me videotaping her, and it was also coming up on audio on my camera. Now, the videos are up there. I had to plead guilty to keep from being locked up because they got a law. You can't have a public defender coming out of municipal. My charge was harassment and careless driving. Municipality, a charge, city charge. But they don't give you a public defender. So I represent myself and prove my innocence, half of it. And the judge fined me and found me guilty, so I appealed him. Then they had a hearing on it. Well, I sued them. Went the morning we had a hearing. And she's in there saying she's going to put in a motion to have me mentally evaluated. This judge signed an order, Jim. I wasn't even notified. Some shrink calls me up from the University of Missouri. We have an appointment this next week. I'm like, fuck you. So I went out, hopped my car, and hired an attorney. They're going to send me to a mental hospital.
That the corruption of the judiciary across the nation, including abuse of you and abuse of me and abuse of a host of others, has to be brought to a halt. This is a case that can contribute toward that very end.
It is.
Joel, your final thought.
Do you have any more points, Jim?
Those are the key ones I thought we needed to address today.
Okay, I think that's good. I think we should bring the program to an end because it got out there on the importance of the satanic influence of the Ukraine.
Plus, the judicial system's corrupt, and I'm asking everybody to help Jim get the $100,000 he needs. We could all do it within 6 months. Everybody could chip in and help him out. Now, give out your website, jimfetzer.org.
Jamesfetzer.org, and the fund site is givesendgo.com, funding Fetzer. Basically, I need to raise a good chunk of that change within 90 days. I am only 90 days within the date of the Wisconsin Supreme Court denying my petition for review, which was frankly absurd because even a first-year law student can see the gross abuse to which I was subjected. This case deserves the support of the American people. I'm doing it for us all.
They didn't allow you to present your evidence like they didn't allow me. This is injustice in this country. Folks, let's get behind Jim. Let's get him what he needs, okay? Jim, you got it on your site, jamesfetcher.org. You have a fund page or up there, link and everything. Make it simple for him, okay?
Yep, defending the First and Second Amendment, or you go right to givesendgo.com/fundingfetcher. You'll find it all there.
When the First Amendment's violated, which is being violated with me and Jim and others, especially this outspoken ones, it's time for us to have our Second Amendment right. And they're getting ready to take it, they think. And they're going to play Sandy Hook to do it with, folks. So help Jim out. With that said, I want to thank you, Jim Fetcher, Professor James Fetcher, and Professor Joel Bolt. Any last comments, either one of you?
Our great pleasure, Sue.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Goodbye.
Have a good one, folks.